You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Sup.
And we have also a guest host with us today, Mr. Robbie.
Hello, guys.
Yes. And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yes. Make sure you check out our website and all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yes. And that website is limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been a while since I've seen you guys.
Yeah.
Or it feels like it. It's been 2 weeks. Has it been 2 weeks or did we go longer in this one?
No, it's been two weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I should know. I've ingested two seasons of Buffy in like a week and a half, so.
Oh, my gosh. It took me so long to get through season six. But we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
We'll get there.
Season 5, which we're doing today, Pixie Dusters, if you don't remember where we are, we're in the Buffy universe, Buffy Vampire Slayer, and we are on Season 5, which honestly, as I was looking through it, is like one of the higher rated seasons.
It's a good season. I forgot how good it was.
It is a really good season.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of the episodes were like 8.0 and up,
mm-hmm.
Which for IMDb is like a 10.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk about this season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I did the notes this week, and I tried to follow Sammy as best as I possibly could. So I'm sorry if I'm not as good as notes as Sammy. But here we go. Main cast, we still have Sarah Michelle Gellar, Nicholas Brendon, Allison Hannigan, Mark Blunkus is still a part of this main cast, Emma Caulfield, Michelle Trachtenberg joins the main cast.
Uh-huh.
We love you. Rest in peace. We miss you. James Marsden. Oh, dear Lord. Marster. And then Anthony Stewart Head is, of course, our main cast. That's Buffy, Xander, Willow, Riley, Anya, Dawn, Spike, and Rupert. If you don't know that so far, you need to go back and watch, and you mm-hmm. are on the wrong podcast. Anywho, some reoccurring cast that starts to we see more of, or we continue to see, Amber Benson as Tara, Christine Sutherland as Joyce, which I believe, yes, this is her last season, mm-hmm. so that was a sad day. Charlie Weber as Ben, Claire Kramer as Glory, Troy as Jinx, Todd as Merc, Mercedes comes back as Harmony, Bailey Chase as Graham, let's see here, Kevin Wiseman as Dreg, David does come back as Angel for an episode or two, I believe, Adam is Warren, and then Juliet Landu comes back as Drusilla. Mm-hmm. So they reoccur a couple times. This one, I don't know how many episodes. I didn't find the wiki until I was doing season 6. So we'll have how many episodes are in next season. But there is some guest cast that comes in. Julie Benz comes back for at least an episode as Darla. And Sharon Ferguson comes back as the first Slayer. And then Amy Adams shows up randomly as a girl named Beth McClay. Mm-hmm. There's some others, but those are the three that I'm like, I know those names.
Forget about Amy Adams. And then I'm like, oh, yeah.
I know she shows up. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
You're just there. Okay.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
The big bad for this season is Glory, who she is terrifying to me. Like, I, out of all of the villains that we've watched up to this season, she's probably the scariest to me.
Scariest and she most powerful.
Just, yes. Definitely. That's probably powerful. Why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most she's, powerful.
And she's a bee. Mm-hmm. And being a bee and that power, just bad combination.
She is the only one to really break Buffy's spirit.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody else has the way she has. Well, maybe Angelus. Angelus, but that's like a different, because they already have her era.
Yeah.
She's the only one to actually make Buffy want to give up.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she literally said, this is when I knew I wasn't going to defeat her. And it's just like, Buffy.
It's like, if I were to describe Glory as to anyone who hasn't seen the show, it's like, imagine Aphrodite, only with unlimited strength, a massive superiority complex, and a real short temper.
Angelus never made her go into her head, though.
No.
Like Glory did. Like,
no, but he got into her head. I mean, he knew her intimately, so he knew how to break her. Intimately.
Not like Glory, when she was just regressing and...
True.
She had to go in and save her.
True. Like, with Angelus, he got into her head, but she was able to, like, hit this switch resolve and was like, oh, like, all right, I'm going to kill him. Because she knew what to do. She knew how to kill him. He was a vampire. He was...
familiar.
Yes. It was a familiar big
Glory
bad.
Glory is different.
Glory is a god.
You're right. Yep. She just didn't know what to do at all.
You can't destroy a god, technically. And actually, Dan, as you were describing Glory, what it made me think of is like taking Aphrodite, Zeus, and Hera, wrapping it all together.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Scary.
Very it is scary. Scary especially scary. Putting in Hera. Hera is vindictive if you actually like read through Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. You don't want to mess with the queen of the gods. Mm-hmm. But anyways, this is the fifth season of Buffy, like we said. It premiered on September 26th in 2000. And just like every other season, it concluded its 22-episode season on May 22nd of 2001, which I thought was interesting because it's like season 5, 22 episodes. May's 5, 22 episodes. I don't know. I like the symmetry. It maintained its previous time slot, airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. And... this is the final season on WB.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yep. It started off with like one of my, it's not even that highly rated, but I love this episode. It starts off with Buffy versus Dracula. Just randomly out of blue, we're deciding, okay, before we get to Glory, we're going to face her against the well-known vampire villain of the age. So while chasing a vampire in a cemetery, Buffy meets Dracula, who has come to Sunnydale to meet her. Buffy feels proud with the revelation of the greatest vampire in the world knowing her name. Meanwhile, Giles secretly tells Willow that he will return to England since Buffy does not need his service as a watcher anymore. Dracula turns Xander into a slave, and during the night he visits Buffy, bites, and puts her under his thrall. Buffy hides the bite with a scarf and becomes powerless and seduced by the Dark Prince, who promises to disclose to her the darkness of her powers and increase them. I will say the most satisfying thing about this episode was at the end when his thrall was gone, and she's just like, really? Like, she always does that head tilt and then kicks their butt.
Yes.
That was gross.
I did enjoy that.
What?
He kisses her, or she bites him, or whatever, or she bites him back, or something, and she's just like, that was gross.
It was gross.
I love that Spike was so unfazed by him, though, but also, like they were old rivals.
Yes. Yeah, he owed him money, right?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, this
guy.
Who
doesn't Spike owe money to?
Oh, yeah.
Or kittens to, or something to?
Yeah.
No, I think Dracula owed Spike money.
Yeah.
Oh, Dracula owed Spike money.
But it was like $11 or something. Like, it wasn't even anything
like the most petty thing in the world. Everyone's so terrified of Dracula, Spike's like, ah, this guy.
Whatever.
That's funny.
Oh, dear.
Just like mildly annoying. Yeah, no,
it was... It was a great episode. Love it. And then it ends season 5, episode 22, on the gift, as Glory prepares Dawn for a bloodletting ritual that will open a portal to another dimension. Buffy and her friends prepare for battle. And spoiler, spoiler, spoilers, if you haven't watched it, shut this off. Buffy dies. Again.
This is twice.
For the third time? Second time?
Twice. Second time.
She only does twice.
Second time. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a very big episode, which I thought was going to be, would be the highest rated episode, but it wasn't. The highest rated episode was season 5, episode 16, which was just the most heart-wrenching episode in the series, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The body. Yeah. Which is when she loses her mom.
Mm-hmm.
It was rated a 9.7.
Oh, I got thoughts on that one.
And do we want to talk about them now, or do we want
to
wait?
Oh, we'll wait till we get to it.
Okay.
Yeah, usually we kind of do a review and then wait.
And then second highest rating was The Gift, which was the last one, got a 9.5. Third highest, I forgot to change the season and episode, but it was called Fool for Love, which you learn more about Spike or William, how he becomes Spike. Which was rated a 9.1. And then the lowest was episode 6, Listen to Fear, which was 7.0. So really not very low ratings in this season.
What was the Listen to Fear about?
I was even going to look it up before this. And I did not. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up too. Where's my wiki?
Buffy.
I'm pretty sure things happened in the episode, and then there were bad guys, and then they killed them.
Yeah?
Well, yeah.
Probably. That's probably. Good, I don't know.
Synopsis. More than likely.
I don't play anything. Whatever you say it was.
Episode 9, sorry.
9.
As Joyce's sickness makes her begin doing odd things, a demon emerges from a meteorite and begins killing the mentally ill.
That was a...
He wouldn't watch it.
I think it's
he
gross.
He skipped it. It's like,
no. With the demon just hanging on the ceiling,
and
Joyce out of her mind talking to him, like, you can't be here.
It was
you
a good episode, but it was definitely hard to watch. It was disturbing.
Very creepy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Creepy. That was a very disturbing episode. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough that it's rated low. I get it.
Yeah. But again, it's not even that low rated.
Not low, low. But for
IMDb, that's a normal rating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was well crafted and thought out, but I just thought the creature was very gross.
Mm-hmm.
Very creepy.
Yeah. That tends to happen in Buffy.
I mean, there's only been 3 episodes where I was like, oh man, that's really gross. The praying mantis one, this one, and when she gets her job at the Double Meat Palace and she has to.
That episode, I was like, I almost skipped it. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
They went spoiling green on us, man. It's people.
Disgusting.
Ugh.
Listen, anyone who's worked like fast food or retail, they know like that's some accurate stuff right there. Just the vibe, just the soul sucking vibe.
The vibe, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I never worked in that vibe.
I never did fast food, not that retail vibe. For sure, yeah.
Retail, yes.
Yeah, I haven't done retail. Like, yeah, I never was in those vibes.
Yeah.
I was able to avoid it.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
Really. I've done my best. I mean, most of my experiences have been positive, but I definitely understand that feeling. Just the dead-eyed stare. Just like, I'm here again.
Honestly, sometimes I feel like that's my current job. But anyways, we're not going to talk about that on film.
Moving on.
Welcome to
highlights. Yeah. So I cheated because I didn't know how else to get highlights what was happening, write it. I used ChatGPT for the first time. And you know what? It wasn't that bad.
I didn't even think to be like, tell me about this season. Yeah.
I forgot to do highlights for season 6, so I might have to grab those real quick before we do it. But I'm like, give me the highlights of season 5, because I have no clue where to start. Because honestly, it would have been like a 3-page paper. I'm really bad at concise things. ChatGPT will do it for you.
Okay.
So, highlights. They gave us the theme of this season. The theme was family, identity, and acceptance of morality, which I agree with. Anything I didn't agree with, I would have taken out. So some things that happened, Dawn Summers appears just out of nowhere. Like, I remember that first episode or the end of the episode that we talked last season and like into this. It's like, who is this girl?
Right.
Why are you here?
At the end of the episode, yep.
You are not a sister. But yeah, she suddenly has a younger sister named Dawn. Later, it is revealed that Dawn is the key, a mystical energy transformed into human form and sent to Buffy for protection. Her memories and everyone else's were magically altered to believe she's always been Buffy's sister. That's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you didn't just have to alter, like, the family. You had to alter the friends, school, the whole town.
Yes. Everybody.
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 And speaking of, I did wear my Michelle shirt today.
Very nice.
Just for
very
her.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like... Well, and at this point, we don't even hear about Dad anymore when Dawn comes into play. So it's like, did they mess with Dad's memory as well? Like, if Dad all of a sudden came in, I was curious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they, I mean, because even, I mean, it's implied, I think everybody knows about Dawn. So Angel knows about Dawn. Angel doesn't even live there anymore, you know. So, yeah, everybody knows.
It's just so
crazy.
It's a lot of power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We already talked about Glory as the big bad. She's trying to find the key so she can go back to her own dimension. There's a lot of growth for Buffy in this episode. She does have to mature a little bit more in taking on a lot more adult responsibilities, especially when Joyce does pass away. You see that she not only has to try to grip what's going on, but she has to figure out a way to move forward and take care of her sister and her family. Mm-hmm. And like I just said, Joyce passes away from a brain aneurysm. This episode is famous for its raw, realistic portrayal of grief and is one of the most critically acclaimed episodes of the series, which I'm not surprised because that is... I haven't lost a parent, but I have lost, like, I mean, you two have, Sammy and Robbie. Yep. Do you feel like that they portrayed the grief and everything pretty well?
Like, I think the actors did a great well? Job.
It's the way... I guess we can just go ahead and talk about the episode. So,
do it.
The way that the episode is crafted, 1,000%. And I think we've talked about this a little bit. For one, it's like silent, right?
Yes.
There's no underlining music, whatever, and it really puts you in that moment of just confusion. Even the way they show like the paramedics at one point, where Buffy's staring at him and you can't see anything, you know. It's like his chin and below, because it's like you can't focus. And then the way you just like, I don't know, can't get your mind together, right?
Because you're in shock.
Yeah, that she's just running around doing nothing. And you're just like, that's how it feels, you know? And the way she calls Giles, like, it's terrible because Giles is like,
what's going on?
You know, Glory is there. Glory's trying to attack you, whatever, just the way she says it. But Buffy can't like speak to it, you know, as far as what she just saw, what's happening, you know, everything they just told her. And then I think really true, like, when they bounce into those fantasies where, oh, they saved her, she's in the hospital, and you think everything's okay, and then snap, that's not reality. And that's how it is, you know? Like, you always have these thoughts like, well, it's not true. It's, you know, it's not really what happened.
I think that's called bargaining.
Yeah, the five stages, this, right? Yeah.
I think there's seven.
Is there seven? I think it's five, isn't it?
Of grief?
Yeah, isn't it five?
I should know this, but I don't
remember. Shock, denial, bargaining, anger, depression, acceptance, maybe something like that.
Okay. I think there's seven, yeah.
That could be.
Keep going.
Apparently, some people say five, some people say seven. It depends on the... depends on the model that you're looking at.
It's all perception. Uh-huh. I mean, everyone does it differently.
Yeah, truly. I mean, it's not a real thing. No. It's just a way to help you cope with...
Right.
It's a coping mechanism through psychology. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, just again, like some of the, you know, the way that Buffy's like running around and everything, like that's what I did. Remember, like, we had to pack to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
And I think I packed every t-shirt I owned. And Robbie's just like, you can't bring all of
throwing
this.
Throwing
like,
it in.
And I was just like,
Then she's like, well, there's not enough room for your stuff. And I was like, clearly there's not enough.
I mean, it's funny now, but yeah. And I don't even think, like, we were going to Indiana in the middle of winter and I was packing like t-shirts. I mean, like, it made no sense even like what we were packing, what I was packing at least. So, yeah, I mean, it's a hard episode to watch. I don't enjoy watching it, but I think that the way Joss wrote it, it was based on his own experience losing his mother, so it was very realistic. Just very, very well done with how everyone reacts to, even Willow, the friends, you know, they're like, oh, I have to be supportive, mm-hmm. right, for Buffy. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be overreacting. But, you know, they were close to Joyce, too. So yeah. It's a hard position to be in, not knowing how to process things. And even Anya, like,
yeah,
you know, she's annoying. I get it. But I really liked what he did with her character because she doesn't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so she's asking these inappropriate questions, but they're questions everybody is thinking, but no one usually says out loud.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Anya's you know? Character is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's that socially awkward person that will. Mm-hmm. She kind of reminds me of me a lot. Like, I'll just ask the question and be like, what's up with...
Yeah, you know. But even the little thing where she's just like, I was sitting there and I was drinking, you know, the fruit punch or whatever, and I thought, Joyce will never drink fruit punch. Like, little stupid things like mm-hmm. that, you literally mm-hmm. do think that. Yeah. Like, it's dumb, yeah. but also a big focus for what you're going through.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know. I did that a lot.
When Giles comes over, she's like, you can't touch the body.
Oh, it's so mm-hmm. heartbreaking the way she...
The way she breaks when she says you're not supposed to move it, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. now it's really hit her, like, oh my mm-hmm. God, this is what just happened, you know?
The only part I didn't really like about this episode is the whole thing with Dawn. They should have pulled her out of school immediately. She should not have went to the school and told her in front of everybody. I know they were setting the scene, but I didn't think that, like, was accurate.
Like, if they had Buffy wait outside. That's not what
They would never do that in, like, yeah. the administration yeah. would have pulled her out of the classroom.
That's the
yeah.
only part
yeah.
of this episode where I was just like, this shouldn't have been written like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have just pulled her out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But I know they were setting the scene mm-hmm. and for Dawn's character and her arc and everything like right. that, but mm-hmm. it should have been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like episode that there's nothing for Buffy to kill.
Right.
To make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can't fix it.
This was natural. This, mm-hmm. I can't think of any other episode.
Well, Dawn tries to fix it.
In the next episode.
Yeah. Yes. But I just meant, like, in general, like, for Buffy, she's always, like, if someone gets killed or if something happens like this, like, there's a big bad that's behind
right,
it. There's
right.
something mm-hmm. that she can fight or kill or whatever. And this is her first and only time in, I think, the whole series. That this happens where there's mm-hmm. nothing else. There's nothing she can do. Mm-hmm.
You guys think Joyce should have died?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. For Buffy's arc.
For what she has to do at the end, for what she has to then go through in season 6 and 7. Yeah. Because I don't think Joyce would have done well with Buffy coming back from the dead.
No.
Probably not.
No. I think there would have... Yeah. I just don't think it would have worked. Joyce, it came to a conclusion. Joyce's story came to a conclusion that it was time for Buffy to be separate from her family. Like, she's mm-hmm. an adult now. She needs to, her story needs to be taken away, which for honestly, any sort of young adult story was much later on in the story than what most authors and right. writers do. They usually try to get the parents out of the picture much, much sooner. Whether it's just them moving or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was time. It was time mm-hmm. for Buffy to not to honestly for Buffy to take the mother role.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dan? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. No. I mean, you guys said a lot of what I was thinking already. I know. I'm like I haven't had experience losing a parent, but like losing individuals, like friends, like I know Ashley, literally what I was thinking of was Josh in college. Like the whole
episode. Yeah, that came to my mind too.
Right. Like it's a hard episode to watch, but for me, it's also cathartic because it's hard to see portrayals of your emotions accurately portrayed. So like seeing it accurately shown, this is what it's like. I'm not alone in feeling this way in a media sort of setting. I'm like, it was very cathartic for me to watch. And like what you're saying, like with Anya, especially those little moments that hit you the hardest. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lost my grandma. And I had like a little moment like that. Like she liked to eat waffles every day and she's never going to eat waffles again. Like that was kind of my situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, how Xander sort of gets quiet and then he gets angry and he punches a hole in the wall. Like, I've known people who have done that. And, you know, Willow going over the top, trying to help people. Like, every single person in this episode does something that is so real.
Normal.
And I love how they bring Tara in the end, or near the end, because they don't really have any kind of relationship. At this point, Buffy and Tara have no relationship whatsoever, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're just awkwardly left there alone, like, okay, how do we relate to each other? And she's the one that's like, I actually know kind of what you're going through, you know? And she's the one who's kind of able to help mm-hmm. nudge Buffy through that.
Yeah.
So that was really good to see. And it's interesting how you mentioned Buffy had nothing to kill, yet they did bring a vampire in at the very end.
Yes, they did.
Like, we need something to kind of put us in, you know, remind us that this is still a fantasy world. But even then, that was like sort of a means to an end. Like, the point of the vampire was to, you know, kill that
kind
and then
snap her out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even with all of the disassociating and the fantasies and the bargaining of, like, I could have saved her, I could have done this differently, I could have done this differently, and that sort of very closed in but also far away feeling. I mean,
yeah.
It is pure art, and it deserves every award it's ever gotten. Which did it win something, or was it nominated for something? I forget.
I didn't see anything about awards for this. The only award that I saw when I was looking up for everything was for the next season, for the musical episode. I'll look real quick, though.
Yeah.
You notice when she was fighting that vampire at the end of it, she was struggling?
Yeah.
Like, she... Normally, she would just whoop him, but yeah, like this one, she was, like, getting thrown around, and it's mm-hmm. just a regular vampire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn wasn't doing much. She was looking at the body.
Dawn was being Dawn.
She was
Dawn
like,
was being Dawn. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm your yeah. sister's struggling. Can you help me out here?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a good episode, but good portrayal of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, very good.
No, it did not win any specific awards, but it was nominated for a Nebula Award for Best Script in 2002.
Okay. I knew there was some sort of nomination or something.
Yeah, it was nominated. It didn't win. The only award I know that they got was for the musical episode.
Gotcha.
Next season. Yeah.
Okay,
well, with that sadness, we'll move on to other highlights that happened.
Let's keep it going.
Even David came back for that
episode. I love sadness. Sadness is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Who came back?
David, at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Angel?
Yeah.
That was a nice way to bring Angel back.
It's
very appropriate.
After the funeral, she was like, you know, I'm just going to stick around. And I figured that's why, because, you know, Creature of the Night can't come out during the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he just kind of let her talk.
Mm-hmm. He was just there for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of vampires who are in love with Buffy, Spike realizes he's in love with Buffy this season.
Mm-hmm.
Or starts to. And it creates an interesting dynamic that kind of comes to a really bad end next season.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some comic relief, and we are seeing more like serious character development from Spike, and even more so, I feel like, in the next season. So that makes me happy because I love Spike. Willow's power starts to rise in this season. We're starting to see it kind of come more to a fruition and growing and all the potential power that brings us to a lot of problems in the next season.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have the Buffy versus Glory battle, which happens at the end. Buffy learns that stopping Glory means Dawn would have to die, but Buffy refuses to accept that. So Buffy sacrifices herself in Dawn's place to save the world and jumping into the portal to close it, which, honestly, I feel like was just the whole sequence... was just beautifully done. Like, I remember rewatching it, and I'm just like, this, like, all the grief she's had about her mom, everything she's gone through, and just you see the peace that Sarah is able to put on Buffy's face as she, like, takes that leap.
Mm-hmm.
I teared up on that last episode.
It's sad. It's a sad scene.
Do you think they should have ended the show with that scene?
Yes.
It feels like they were setting it up to end. I don't know if they were, if there was like, they were setting up to possibly be canceled, because I know they were been teetering on whether the show was going to get canceled or not throughout the its whole life, right. lifetime. So. Yeah.
That would make sense, yeah.
Well, I like it how Sarah, after Michelle died, was like, the hardest thing about living is being in the world.
Yeah.
She put that on her Instagram.
Yeah, the quote from
the hardest thing about this world together. Is to live in it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I'll do that for you.
Yeah.
I was so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like, after now watching season 6, I haven't even started season 7. Like, I needed a breather. I'm like, I can't do this right now. I am spent after season 6.
Yeah, 6 will after put you season, in a place, man. Season, yeah,
oh, my gosh. 6 is just... there's no relief any of it. Even the musical episode where you're supposed to have relief
right.
is no relief.
Yeah.
Anyways, it really should have ended here. Like, they should have ended it here. We should have had an epilogue of, like, Willow and Xander, like, moving on or whatever needs to be done. Should have been done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's very... are we on to the next one when we're talking about her coming back?
No.
Okay.
That's next episode.
That's next season, yeah.
She's just going to be dead in this one, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she dies to save the world and her sister, and then the season ends with the tombstone. She saved the world. A lot.
A lot. Yeah.
Do you think they... Now, let me ask you. Do you think they legally declared her dead? Or do you think
based on what we know next season.
Yeah. Do you...
Based on what we know next season, no.
Yeah, do you think they legally declared her dead, or do you think they just got her a tombstone?
They just must have went out and had a tombstone made, right?
No, what I think happened is what probably happened is at the end of season 5, they thought they were being canceled, and so they put a tombstone there, mm-hmm. and then they're like, oh, we're going to have another season? Let's How are we going to do this?
Yeah,
we'll just pretend we didn't do that.
Because they had the Buffy bot going to, like, parent-teacher meetings to, like, pose as Buffy. So it's like, obviously the world thinks Buffy's alive. And
that's how
you're wondering.
Yeah, you've got child services going on with Dawn. And, yeah, so...
They legally buried her, so they had to legally do something. Well, you can't just bury somebody in
that.
Because you can't just bury somebody in a graveyard. You have to go
Everybody's living in the graveyard, but we can't bury somebody.
The magic of television may just retcon things.
Okay, so yeah.
Willow probably did some sort of spell somewhere. You know, it's fine.
In real life, outside of Buffy, you can't just... very timey-wise. You know what's funny, Dan? I am literally watching the second season of the new... Like, that's what I was watching before this, the new season of Doctor Who, because I want to know what happens.
Nice.
It's not as good as the old Doctor Who's. It's the same writers, great stories. I miss the old actors.
Wait, there's a new Doctor Who now, or is it... I don't know. I dabbled in the show, and then I got out of it. So.
Okay, so you know how there was the two females?
Yeah, I know.
Like, he went female?
I know of one. Wait, female doctor, or?
Female doctor.
I know of one.
I thought there was two, but anyways, there was female doctors. They canceled the show.
Okay.
Disney picked it up, had her transform back into David Tennant for 3 episodes, and then they split. They bi-generate or whatever. So he's still living with Donna and her family, and this new one is out doing whatever. We have our first black doctor.
Well, definitely catch the episode on Doctor Who.
Ashley wants to do it for
them. I do, because it is now Disney. But anywho. Behind the scenes, there was only 2 things. That was in, like, the wiki. This season with the highest number of cast members, with 8 members of the principal cast from the episode Reel Me Into the Woods. So, like, the most cast member, main cast mm-hmm. members in a show. And then Josh stated that this season, our mission statement for season 5 was family. When you think you've moved on and grown up and moved out of the house and are living your life, your family comes back. You realize that they're always a part of you. Also, a very strong message with me is you make your own family, and sometimes it's made for you by monks. So the introduction of Dawn, the death of Buffy's mom, the meeting of Tara's family, all this stuff was very deliberate. We knew year 1... of college was freedom and not a lot of mom. But Christine, luckily, was spending a year in Italy, so it was perfect. And we said, perfect, then you'll come back and you'll be very heavy in season 5 and then I'll kill you.
I'm glad you had that in there because I had read that and it made me laugh. Just the way
that she was on vacation and then...
No, that he said, you'll come back, you'll be very heavy in season 5 and then I'll kill you.
That's just Joss Whedon doing Joss Whedon things.
Yeah. This is how it's going to go. Okay.
Yep. He loves to build things up just so we can destroy them.
Yeah, tell me about it. This is why I think it should end at season 5. Mm-hmm. Because then it just blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't even remember season 7. I think I've only watched season 7 once my whole life with Buffy. I usually stop after this season.
When you're thinking about season 7, the only thing that really jumps out is the ending of season 7.
The finale.
The finale of it. I mean,
it's not very memorable.
Thinking about it, like, you know, you have the guy from Castle there.
Oh, he's the bad guy.
The Caleb.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Nathan Fillion. Nathan Fillion comes in to play the priest.
Hold on. Nathan Fillion is in
season 7.
Buffy.
Yeah. Season 7.
Yeah, he plays an evil priest.
He's the evil big bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big bad.
I totally forgot about him. Yeah, I forgot he was in that.
But, oh, I'm so sorry, saying, Nathan.
Like, it's forgettable.
I mean, you only really think about what Spike did at the end.
That's the only thing I can picture in my head. Yeah.
And like the last 20 minutes of the last episode.
I mean, you basically get everything. I remember a scene of her trying to fix the basement and all the water comes from all different directions.
That's in season six.
No, that happens too. That happens too, but it happens again in season 7 where she's like, she thinks
it does.
And then it's like, it does like a pss, 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 like from like 4 or 5 different directions. Oh, and it's like,
interesting.
It's really comical and more comical than it was in season 6.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Can't remember anything about season 5.
The only thing I can think of in season 7 is watching Spike die because it was traumatic.
Yeah.
I can like see him bright light about to explode with everything. And then I remember them walking away casually from the explosion like nothing ever happened.
And Anya dying.
Oh, and I can picture Anya dead on the floor, which I'm not mad about.
Yeah. Aw. Everyone hates Anya.
Anya goes back to being a revenge demon. I'm done with her.
Well, you know what? No, let's not even get into that next season because I have so many thoughts about.
I don't blame her for why she went back to being a revenge demon, but.
Look, at the end of the day.
You also know I don't like Xander. I hate Xander worse than I don't like Anya.
Oh, I don't like Xander either. In fact, she was way too good for him.
I don't want to start on that because.
But you guys still think Xander is still secretly in love with Buffy. That's why he's definitely a threat with Spike.
I think that Xander still has this like subconscious love of Buffy, and he thinks someday she'll see him and want him.
Maybe.
But in the comic book, he ends up with Dawn.
I'm sorry. What?
Who?
Yeah.
In the comic book, after the Sunnydale, they end up together.
Gross. Why?
I don't know.
That's disgusting.
Here we go. But I'm just saying. You know?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
okay.
there's a comic book after what happened with Angel, because Angel was going to be there for 6 seasons, but then they got canceled, right? So the comic book tells you what happens next. Like with Wilferman Hart, Wesley, everybody.
But why? I don't get... Why? Wow. Why put Dawn with Xander?
I don't know.
Because...
There is, number one, a huge, huge age gap. Number two, he treats her like a little sister through the whole series that she's a part of. Yes, she had a crush on Xander at one point, but still.
Clearly they grow up out of that.
You mean he grows up out of that? She was in love with him from the first...
Well, don't you feel like they kind of set it up through the show? Like,
no.
This could possibly happen.
No.
Or not happen.
No.
No, definitely not.
Other than Dawn liking him.
Yeah.
No.
The ongoing tension between him and Willow, I'll buy.
Yeah.
But Dawn, I don't see that.
I don't know what happened to Dawn, or not Dawn, but Willow. That would be an interesting question to figure out.
I don't know. I know I've read a description of the
She didn't
comics.
Do a whole lot, honestly. Like, she kind of came back in the comics, but it was more of just like, I'm here and I'm better and I'm well-adjusted, and then I go away again. I don't know. She sort of petered out after season six.
Well, after what happened with Tara.
Yeah.
She kind of
That's a whole thing next season.
I gotta admit, I do enjoy Willow's evil witchy crash outs. I have to admit that.
Absolutely.
As dark and as evil as it is, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic.
Allison plays evil very well.
Oh, for sure. She does. When she was a vampire, she did really well.
Mm-hmm. She's just a good actor in general. Like, the emotion she puts into it, like when, we'll get to it, but like when you see her just bawling over Tara. Or bawling in general. Yeah. Like when she's just, you know, she's good.
She does very well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're getting into a lot of season six. Do we have anything else for season five?
Yes. Okay. The Buffy bot. I want to talk about the Buffy bot because, yes, it is so obscene and so funny.
Spike slave?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I mean, just and what I like the most about the Buffy bot is you get to see, because Spike programs her, helps program her, right? So you get to see kind of how he views everybody, right? So like, Willow, you're recently gay. Mm-hmm. So that's what Spike thinks of when he looks at Willow. You know, Angel has pointy hair and he's bloody stupid. Like, it's just so funny.
And then Giles. He didn't even program the name.
My name correctly. Right. Like, it's so funny how he's offended by that. Too.
Anya, she's an ex-demon and she loves money.
Yes. How is your money, Anya?
That's one of my. If I ever get to be like see a panel with the actor who plays Anya, I would want to like ask that question. Like, how is your money? Just to see if she would get the joke.
Yes.
Well, I would hope so.
And the fact that she responds like it's a genuine compliment. You know, how is your money? Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
It's fine.
She's so flattered that the Buffy bot wanted to know.
She's actually at PopCon right now, Indianapolis PopCon.
Nice. Oh.
The actress.
Yeah, that's this weekend, isn't it?
I was almost there, but I was just like, it's too much.
It's a lot,
But she was the main reason why I was going to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wow, it's so funny, though.
Interesting. Yeah. What else? Something else happened in this.
I got to pull up the episode list.
I know. I'm looking through them.
I looked this morning and then, let me see. Which one's
on? Yeah, she embarks on a quest with the first Slayer in this season.
Mm-hmm. That's why her gift is death.
Yep.
And she doesn't get it till the very end. Your gift is death.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
That was actually, I liked how it all came together. Like, your gift, you're basically done your duty, your calling. You can die now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we kind of see a glimpse of Dark Willow in Tough Love when she has to launch a counterattack against Glory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You start to see that come through.
You start to see kind of glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, and I love the bits, too. You know how Glory and Ben are the same person?
Yes.
But they don't remember it. Mm-hmm. I do love that when Spike keeps telling them, and he's just like, what? Are you all stoned? What's wrong with you? Yeah. I'm literally telling you. We just saw it. They're the same person. Mm-hmm. And now Robert Wynn's like, wait, so what are you saying?
Yeah.
They're working together? And he's like, what?
And like, actually get it again for Dan at the very second. Like, oh yeah, so what you're saying is they share a body. Okay, so there's some sort of connection between them.
Yes, it's great. Oh, poor Spike.
With the spot, he hit Xander at the end. He's like, I know this is going to hurt me, but it's well worth it.
Yes.
And hits him on the head.
Yeah.
Too funny. Oh.
Isn't this also the season where she, like, looks at the Watchers and says, like, I'm done with you, like, go away?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they come and they're like, oh, we'll tell you about Glory if you do all these tests for us. And she's like, no.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, we're done with that.
You need
toodaloo.
I know I wasn't around for this season, but what do you think about the chip in Spike's head?
That's an interesting development for him, because I've thought about this, because the fact that he has such an arc... I've speculated, like, how much of it is the chip stopping him from getting hooked on human blood and being evil, and how much of it is genuine, like, there's fragments of my humanity still in my vampire body. So it's interesting to see like that. I feel like the way I look at it is human blood is the thing that made him like addicted to evil. The fact that he can't access that, it sort of weaned him off of that and reconnected him with himself. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's, it shows that he's, people like to compare him to Angel. He's definitely a much stronger character than Angel, and that demonstrates why. There's still elements of humanity inside him, and the chip kind of forced him to reconnect with that. It's the way I see it, anyway.
So I believe that even if he didn't have the chip in him, I feel like he would still have fallen in love with Buffy. Because she resembles a strong... She almost resembles a strong vampirical woman. And he kind of is a weakness to that.
Well, Buffy was only a vampire for one episode.
I'm not talking about her being a vampire. I'm just talking about, like, her personality. And
right,
she is, absolutely. Yeah.
Very strong, and yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like even though he'd still want to kill her and he'd still want to go after her, I feel like he would probably have still fallen in love with her. Because I feel like he already was starting to do that even when Drusilla was around. Because he kept getting so obsessed with her that having the chip in him just allowed him to really think on it.
What do you guys think about him offering to kill Drusilla? This is that season. This is 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
like, I'm going to kill Drusilla.
I mean, he has every right to kill Drusilla. She's cheated on him how many times? Like, in my mind, yeah, go for it.
What did she leave him for?
What kind of demon
was that? Some sort of demon. It was a weird-looking one, too.
Crime
like,
demon or
it
something.
It was disgusting.
It was not pretty.
And no. I was like, ugh, that's gross.
Yeah. But I mean, Drusilla obviously is not picky.
I mean, she's clearly crazy.
Well, and Drusilla was tired of hearing about Buffy. Again.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair.
More evidence that I think Spike was already flowing towards obsession.
I do think the chip kind of hindered him. We didn't... You know, I liked it when Spike was
chaos
bad.
A chaos demon.
Yeah. Well, it's slimy.
But, you know, you got to see this both sides of him. Like, oh, when he's really evil. I think the best episode in this whole show is when he's battling becoming part 1 and 2, and he's like in Jealous, he's like, you're going to hell, and that's the pull of the sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did any of you watch this live, like on TV when it was on airing?
I didn't watch it until it was on.
I didn't know anything about it till college.
Let me tell you this, we were such fans, even my dad would watch this with me.
Aww.
And during this when Becoming Part 1 happened and 2, it was raining. I remember this. It was, and the power went out, right? And my dad got so pissed, he called the cable company and was like, what's going on? Because
I got to know what's going on, what's happening.
And I was like,
this is not the time.
Right when they were fighting, right? He's like, you're going to hell. Boom, the power goes off. And we're like, what's going on?
What's happening? What's happening?
No. That's a very bad thing in the 90s, because you get to catch it now.
Right.
Like,
I mean, you would have to do it on a rerun or repeat.
Yeah. Wait for them
to pray they do a rerun soon.
I would say there's no guarantee of a rerun, because nothing was in syndication at the time. Exactly. So it's like,
and then next week's episode, he's like, oh, previously on what happened to Buffy, and then you kind of see it what happened there.
If you did miss it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
How do we get through that?
Mm-mm. I think Angelus is so much better than Angel, because Angel's broody all the time.
He's very broody.
Angelus is beautiful
because he is pure. There is no conflict with him.
Evil.
There's no struggle. There is no self-flagellation. It's all of just he knows what he is and he enjoys it.
Do you think he's more evil than Spike?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. 100%. Mm-hmm. Spike, at the end of the day, is in it for the rush. He likes the high of it. Angel is a sadist and a psychopath.
Angel will burn the world and burn with it. Angelus will burn the world and burn with it, happily gleeing.
Mm-hmm.
As in, Spike is like, I want to cause damage, but I don't want to leave the world. Right. He still has that humanity part where I don't want to die.
Right. And like that's why Angelus annoys Spike because he plays with his victims, right? Mm-hmm. And Spike's like, "Why don't you just kill her? I don't understand what you're doing."
Yeah.
Because that's not the fun part for Angelus.
Right.
When Spike and Buffy during Becoming, they kind of have a pact. He's like, when he's like, when they're meeting at the park at night and he's like, he hits the cop and he's like, "I'm going to kill this guy." And she's like, and he's like, that's when they form their pact. And then yeah. I think the funny part is when Buffy and Angelus are fighting, Spike's like, "Oh, he's going to kill her." And he just shrugs and leaves. I'm just like, okay. Oh, well.
Spike is always funny.
I mean,
Spike's okay with death. He's just, he doesn't want his death.
Yeah.
So when is this chip malfunctioning season 6?
No, that's, and they address that. The chip works perfectly, but for some reason it's like, it doesn't, with Buffy, it doesn't affect him.
Right.
That's when, yeah, season 6. So
it's
like,
it's not him, but it's season
6 when it's actually malfunctioning and the initiative has to come in and take it out.
That's in 7 then.
That might be in 7.
That's not. I haven't hit that yet. That has to be 7.
Okay. Last 2 seasons, so we're not there yet.
I'm gonna allude to it anyway, so I can finish.
It's what we do.
It's funny.
But you know, when they're like, "It's killing him," right? I mm-hmm. asked James about this. So if you're not listening to the Boogeyman Pod, you can't kill the Boogeyman Podcast.
Oh, for the interview.
Go back and listen to this. When the chip was malfunctioning, they're like, "It's killing Spike. How can it kill you when you're already dead?" And he was like, "I never thought of that." And he started laughing about it. He was like, "I never thought of that." I was like, "What's the reasoning behind that?"
Guess we'll never know.
No. You'd need to ask Joss for that one.
Yeah, probably.
So
Joss, why did you try to kill or say he was dying when he's already dead?
He's not
he has
alive.
No heartbeat.
He is nothing.
Alive. And then Joss would just respond kind of like this, and he'd say something softly and clever, and then he wouldn't really know, and he'd just kind of walk away, because that's how he sounds.
Exactly. And you'd think he answered it, and then you'd be like, wait.
It's like, wait, that wasn't an answer.
He didn't actually explain anything.
What do you think of Spike's crypt?
Oh, we had a debate about this. There.
I don't think it's that bad either.
When he fixed it up, he made it homely. He put a rug in there, put some lights in there. Like, it's actually kind of nice.
He does have furniture.
Yeah, he got some furniture.
And it's and bed, a refrigerator and everything.
It's concrete, it's warm. Like, it's insulated, you know. I mean,
yeah. I don't think he has running water. That's the only thing I don't think.
Not like he needs it.
But I feel like it's just a man cave. I could not live there.
He's a single man.
I'll go visit, and then I'm gone.
It's funny when the girl from social services. Have you seen the bloopers to that? Did you show him that?
No. I should send you the bloopers.
Isn't that season 6?
That's in season 6. That's
but
not here.
He in the bloopers. The girl from Child Services is like, "Does he sleep over a lot?" And in the bloopers, he's like, "Sarah, you can't cuss on this one."
No, you can censor it.
But he's like, Sarah, in the bloopers, like, the only reason he's sleeping over is when he blanks me at night.
When he F's me, yeah.
Yeah.
They drop a lot of F-bombs in the bloopers,
that does not surprise me.
To me, yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Anything else with Glory? We haven't anything else with Glory and Dawn and.
I mean, I do think the sacrifice that Buffy gave for Dawn, because mm-hmm. it was like Summer's blood. Mm-hmm. I think that was very well common, like mm-hmm. to let her the sacrifice she had to do because mm-hmm. she loved Dawn so much.
Mm-hmm. That was well set up too.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. fact that episodes prior to that, she's like, "Oh no, it's Summer's blood," and then it all mm-hmm. comes together.
Clicks.
I also find it interesting how we kind of flip at the end, because we obviously Ben's kind of a victim in all this, but in the end he's a little more despicable than Glory, because at least Glory owns what she is. Ben, like, you know, he's tries to be all noble, but at the end of the day he's just trying to save himself, and you know.
Exactly.
And then you see Rupert come out.
The Ripper, Giles.
Oh. He does stuff that Buffy could never do.
I love Giles' dark side.
Scary Giles. I love it when Scary Giles comes out.
Like Scary Giles. Ooh, yeah, I like Giles just in general, but yeah, I like when seeing the river comes out.
Well,
Anthony Stewart, how do you say his whole name? Thank you. Anthony Stewart Head is just a very sinister. He can be very sinister and just evil. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well done.
Well,
I've seen him in other roles of that nature. Like,
he was in Ted Lasso.
And then
I have no clue about that.
Ted Lasso. Genetic Opera.
No clue about that. He was in Merlin, which was a BBC show, and he was King Arthur's dad, and he just was evil. And then he was an evil character in Doctor Who.
Okay.
Oh, he was in Doctor Who, too.
He was,
good
for him. Well, make sure you guys stick around for the Doctor Who episode, because clearly this is going down on the Pixie Dust.
All British actors are in Doctor Who at some point in time in their life. There are so many seasons since, the 60s that...
How many seasons are there?
That's got to be like a rite of passage for British actors. Like,
I feel like it is. Like, as a British actor, you have to be in one episode of Doctor Who.
It's like if you're an American and you're in a Marvel movie or something.
I think for America, it's Law and Order, isn't it? Everybody's Law and Order.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
All right. Well. Oh, isn't this also the season where Riley is a dum-dum and becomes a bloodsucker? Or bloodsucky?
Yeah,
he's bloodsucky. I love that in Riley.
I don't actually like Riley. I think they...
We're Riley haters over here.
He was glorified. I think that with the whole initiative thing, they were trying to make somebody compatible to Buffy. Mm-hmm. And I think that arc didn't make sense.
Buffy can't have a relationship with a normal human. It's just not possible.
Right. Yeah. So he needed to
be James
Bond.
But if she could, I thought Riley was a good choice until all the crap
happened. Of all the options, he would have been the best option. Yeah. I don't hate him or like him. I'm pretty indifferent to him, but I do think he tried. I give him that.
Well, he was basically there to just like, you know, Buffy never told him anything. Mm-hmm. Even when Joyce was dying, you know, you go to your significant other and be like, my mom's dying.
Yeah.
And grief. I mean, I can't do this in front of my sister or my mother, but you're that person I'm supposed to be able to do that to.
Right.
And she's having surgery or gets admitted into the hospital. And she never even says one time, oh, I'm going to call Riley. Mm-hmm. She's an afterthought to him.
Well, Riley isn't, she's not in love with him. She's not anything. He is a placeholder for her, honestly, sexual libido more than likely.
Mm. Yeah.
And to try to forget about Angel.
Yeah. Because she was so upset when Angel was like, I'm going and I'm not even going to say goodbye. He said goodbye at his own.
He said goodbye. In his Angel way. We talked about this. We're like, it was goodbye and Angel.
That's a complete Angel thing to do. Right. I don't have to say goodbye to you personally, but you'll look at each other and just know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was... Yeah, he's... It's like want to like him.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be good for Buffy, but it's just it's not going on.
And they were like, there's the secret government underneath the college. You're just like, really? Okay.
I mean, it is Sunnydale... If the government's going to find out there is, like, weird things going on, I wouldn't put it past them to do it, but in a mythical
world. I mean, it makes sense. It's Sunnydale. You have witches and vampires and werewolves.
The Hellmouth.
The Hellmouth is the key. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know another vampire I wish they would have done more with?
Who?
The Master. And
he wasn't around long enough. We talked about that.
I think he could have been more of a badass than... anything they did with his character, because everybody feared him.
Mm-hmm.
Even Angel did. He was like, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we didn't really get to see him
do all that carnage. He died as soon as he got out.
Mm-hmm.
What?
He died as soon as he got out.
Yeah, as soon as he got out of his little prison thing.
Right. They should have done so much more to it. With him.
They really should have resurrected him. Like, the resurrection that she stopped in the first episode of season 2, they should have allowed that resurrection to happen, and he should have been the big bad through the rest of high school, at least.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree that with you. 100% with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they missed the opportunity with that.
Yeah, that was the one kind of disappointing thing with season 2. I mean, I guess Angelus was, like, the big bad, but it would have been cooler to see, like, an external big bad.
But well, Master and Angelus together would have been big, big bad.
That would have been
They would have been best buddies.
That would have been like epic bad, bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They could have destroyed the high school. We didn't need the stupid snake.
I like the snake, though.
I mean, he's funny. I do like the principal is like a comic relief villain. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they could have done some big, big bad.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean. Especially, do you guys remember the episode when he was being possessed with the bees and everything? We're going way back now. We're not even on
season. Who's being possessed?
Who's possessed?
When Angel was possessed because there was a poltergeist and he's like...
Oh, with Buffy.
With Buffy.
And they played
I thought, like, the range of motion that David or Angelus put into that, I thought it was great. Mm.
It was a good episode.
I bought that hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. And I think Sammy was telling me that's the episode they realized David could have his own spinoff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is how we got Angel the series.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because David is just like, he's an amazing actor.
He is. He's
I've already said this multiple times. Like, he just gets better with age on looks and acting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we met him at Fanboy, right?
I know. I'm so jealous.
He's kind of a douchebag in real life.
That does not surprise me, so I'm actually kind of glad I haven't met him.
Sunglasses on. We met him. David, next time you're at a Comic-Con or something like that, take the glasses off. People are paying good money to see your eyes.
And he was friendly, though.
But he was...
Nice.
So...
He seems very, like, 70s hippie.
I do not...
70s hippie.
Have you seen some of his, like, in his social media posts and whatnot? Like, he seems very 70s hippie.
Very, like, crystals and...
Yes. Yeah, like healing and everything like that.
Yeah, it's very
I usually don't fan out. I'm great with celebrities.
Mm-mm.
I walk up to David, and I'm trying to talk to him, say something slick about Parent, because his new show is on Paramount, right?
Which show?
SEAL Team 6.
It's not new, but yes, it is on there, and I love
no,
it.
No, current. David Ellison is buying Paramount, and I was like trying to explain this to him. I was like, so David Ellison is buying Paramount. Is that going to affect your show? And it didn't come out that way. I was just like, let me start over. I totally messed it up.
Yeah.
And the girl in line was, the lady in line was like, are you okay? Talking to me. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to act like I've been there before, but I'm doing great.
Yeah, I would probably geek out. I probably wouldn't be able to say anything. I'd probably just smile, want a hug from him, and like leave.
Even when I was interviewing James, I mean, I kept it together. Strictly professional.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm going to actually see him in Knoxville in 2 weeks.
Nice.
I'm actually going to try to get him to come back on the show. Her and Julie Benz.
Mm.
So, and I reached out to the actor that played Clem. And I'm trying to get him on the show as well.
Mm-hmm. Clem,
the demon.
The floppy college bro demon that was... Yes.
Oh, Clem! Yeah. Clem, of course, Clem. Sorry. I'm like...
Spike's roommate.
Yes.
Spike's buddy, you know.
Oh, goodness gracious. Demeanor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, goodness.
Well, this is... I guess
I'd freak out a little bit if I actually met James.
Yeah.
He's super unrelated.
Oh, I know, but I he's just been a high pedestal, like him as an actor has been high pedestal enough for me that I'm just like, I would freak out a little bit.
I'm hoping when I see him, he remembers me. Sammy we'll says out. He will, but I'm sure he sees so many people.
Yeah.
But I was only supposed to get like 15 minutes from him. He gave me 30.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he probably will. I mean,
he enjoyed the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Let's be real, Robbie. You are a very, very memorable person.
Mm-hmm. How do we say that?
He is.
Well,
like,
thank you.
I feel like it'd be very difficult for someone to forget you. I mean, I have family members who, like, what was his name? I remember him. It's Sammy's husband. He's da da da. Like, they remember you. You are very memorable from one
of them. You know, when Sammy was giving her speech at your wedding?
Uh huh.
I was like, I should have pulled a Kanye and been like, I'm going to let you finish. I was so thinking about doing that.
I would not been happy with you.
But I was like, I'm going to let you finish, but I got something to say. I was just about ready to do that. Oh, and then God. I was just like, nah, I'll let her have
it. I would have thrown something at you.
I think, and that's then funny. I thought out of everybody, I could get away with that.
You would have gotten away with it, but something would have been thrown at you.
Fair.
That's true.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, you got away with videotaping at my wedding and you weren't supposed to.
Good thing he did, though.
Good thing I did.
You got the best moment of the whole thing, so thank you.
And people are like, oh, you can't videotape. And I'm like, yeah.
That was my boss.
I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, sure. Like,
okay.
That was my boss. And she knew how much I wanted everyone to, like, follow it. And I think she's a rule follower.
Let me abide by the rules.
Yeah, she asked me about that, like, after we got back into stuff. She's like, I'm like, that was my best friend's husband. I'm not surprised he didn't listen to me.
I didn't even see it in the preview or the pamphlet. No recording. I was like, it's all right. But I sent it to your mother.
She didn't tell me you sent it to her?
Yeah, I did at the house party.
She did not tell me she got that.
Well, she probably didn't have my number. I just sent it.
No, she has all you guys' numbers.
Oh, does she? I didn't know that. Yeah. But
she has any of my, like, really close friends' numbers just in case something happens.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, maybe that's why she didn't text back. She already knew it was me.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also just really bad at texting back right away.
But yeah, I gave her like 3 or 4 videos of it.
Okay. I'll have to go back to her about it. But anyways, we are so off topic. We should just wrap up so we can talk about season 6, because I feel like we talked a lot about season 6 in this episode.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on season 6, so I don't know.
This was season 5. I mean, it was all right. I think the highlight of Buffy is season 2. When they're like Miss Calendar trying to...
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, trying yeah.
To, with the
yeah.
soul yes. Orbith Fessler.
Let us end the episode.
Okay.
I'm still watching season 4, personally.
Robin. You like 4?
Yeah, 4 is still my favorite. 5 was good. They're all pretty good, but season 4 has always been my favorite.
What happened in season 4?
Just a lot of transitional things, like everything that happened. Like, she's in college, and Spike gets the chip in his head. Like, a lot of, I said this last episode, but a lot of what happens in season 4 kind of shapes what will happen in the rest of the show.
For sure.
You know, I don't know, I really enjoy it, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up.
Okay. So, Pixie Dusters, thank you so much for joining us for season 5. We will be back next week for season 6. Which I don't know how I feel about. So come back and find out. Bye.
We'll be there for
bye.
Free.
What?
Bye. What?
See, what did you say?
I said we'll be there for pain. Season 6 is nothing but pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Bye.
Toodaloo.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.